The Beach Cottage by Angela Carlton was originally published on Everyday Fiction on May 7, 2008. This story is read by M. Sherlock and licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works. The Beach Cottage. I am washing my hands at the beach cottage when the phone rings. My friend Tess and I have come here to escape. We've come to cope with the issue neither of us planned to discuss. Right away, I know it's him calling by her liquid tone. I've been thinking of you, she whispers. I'm sorry, and then you know I would. He is her old love, a trust fund kid she ran off to St. John's Island with when she was barely 20. Andrew is in his 30s now. He's married. When she hangs up the phone, Tess moves toward our open window facing the Florida shore. You know why he still loves me? Why? I ask like I haven't heard the answer 100 times. Because we were never foolish enough to marry, she laughs, pushing her blonde hair out of her eyes. I am pouring Tess a Pinot Grigio now chilled with one ice cube the way she likes. Andrew says he wished he could sleep in the bed with me one more time. No sex, just sleep. Do you want to watch the sunset on the pier after dinner? I ask. It's one of the many distractions I have come up with that really won't work. Nothing does. What would you have done if you were me? Tess asks. Although I despise the question, I am still somewhat pleased. She is nibbling on a cube of smoked gouda. She's eating something. I busy myself with the Pinot and bring forth the pineapple, blueberries, and watermelon. Another distraction. A mini comfort. Tess knows I won't answer the question. I can't. I don't know what it's like to lose an old love, find him again inside a ferocious affair, and still lose. That evening, we don't watch the sunset. I try for my third distraction. Let's watch The Pursuit of Happiness now. But Tess has passed out on the sofa instead, mouth open, like a fragile child, so I resign myself to a hot bath. Our marble jacuzzi is the shape of a seashell. A soft rain is tapping on the rooftop. My body is warm. I feel cozy. Lifeless, beneath the bubbles, yet the weight of the air, this cloud remains. And when Andrew's brother phones, much later the next day, I do not have one single distraction for the news. The wine glass is on her lap, but Tess stands up too quickly without thinking. She can't think. A few seconds after the glass breaks, Tess does. So I hold her. It's all I know to do. She's sobbing, choking, so I hold her. I rock her like she's a new baby with a chill, a puppy with a disease. Her eyes are black from mascara now, and her face is splotchy red. She is having trouble catching her breath, so I keep holding on as if she's my nana with the heart failure coming back to me. We do not go to the beach the next day, or the next, but Wednesday we stay up most of the night to catch the sunrise from our porch. We drink far too much and don't sleep enough to appreciate the swirls of soft purples and pinks. This delicate scenery, its beauty. Still, we are mesmerized. We watch. We watch without saying a word about Andrew's cancer, his morphine ride. Death makes us silent.